facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
A tremendous Thursday to you. It's May 27th, and we are live on the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. It's great to be back. I was off for half a day yesterday. I kind of feel like the Cal Ripken Jr. of Relevant Radio. Yesterday was the first little bit of time off that I took in almost a year of being here at Relevant Radio. Can you believe that? How time flies. Well, streak had to end at some point. Got to use your vacation. Use it or lose it, right? And time off is good. Periods of rest have to be mixed in, of course. Work, rest, prayer, all of that. You have to live a balanced life in Christ. 1-888-914-9149 is the studio line to call. We've got an amazing guest who's joining me in just a few moments, and I'll introduce him to you in just a second. But it's good to be back. And producer Lucas, I have to tell you, yesterday's encore show on the Incarnation was kind of interesting because we had a commenter who got a lot out of it, and it happened to be none other than your mom.
That's right, Cale. So, a little behind the scenes here. I totally played the wrong episode yesterday for the show while you were out. Turns out it was a show from Advent season, but it was on the Incarnation, and you know what, Cale? It was really cool because here I am thinking to myself, oh man, I just screwed up and played this really old episode. But God uses us broken people to bring about good. And my mom texts me, and she's like, hey, this stuff's great. Like, what Cale's saying right now is awesome. And for those who don't know, my mom's actually not Catholic. I love you, Mom. She's great in bringing me up in the faith, and I think she's a closet Catholic anyway, but we'll see. Maybe she'll come into the church one day. But, yeah.
Well, so. Let's pray. Hey, Mrs. Holt, the door is open. Come on home. We'd love to have you. And don't thank us for the show. You should really be thanking yourself because you brought up this amazing person named Lucas Holt, and he's the one who pushed play on that episode. And you know what? I'm sure. Hopefully, a lot of other people found it great as well. And in God's providence, I'm glad you enjoyed it, and I enjoyed it too. Listening to it, actually, that was a fun episode from back in the day. It wasn't that long ago though, but
yeah,
time flies. And speaking of around that time of Advent, we had this wonderful guest on our program, and he is back with us right now. And you're going to want to call in to ask him questions because he's got great answers for you. 1-888-914-9149. It's a toll-free studio line on the Cale Clark Show. You can also email us, cale@relevantradio.com, cale@relevantradio.com. You can also follow me on Twitter. Tweet at me there, @CaleClark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. And the show account is @CaleClarkShow. And producer Lucas will be monitoring those accounts if you have any questions you'd like to submit electronically. But I want to welcome back right now as my guest, a great friend of the program. He was born and raised near beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia, one of the prettiest cities in the entire world. During his time at university studying philosophy, he had a profound conversion experience that brought him to live for and with Jesus Christ. He was ordained as a priest in the year 2015. He's currently pursuing his PhD in theological anthropology at the Maryvale Institute. He is pastor of St. Peter's Parish in Nanaimo, British Columbia, the popular co-host of the incredible podcast Clerically Speaking, and he's also co-author of Finding Christ in the Crisis, What the Pandemic Can Teach Us, and also the upcoming book, which you're really going to want to get your hands on. This is incredible. It's called Mysterion, the Revelatory Power of the Sacramental Worldview. Now, this book is coming out soon. It's going to be released very soon by Pauline Books and Media, but you can and you should pre-order it right now. It's called Mysterion, and the author is my guest, Father Harrison Eyre. Father, welcome back to the program. How are you?
Doing great. How are you doing?
I am fantastic and so happy to be talking to you once again. And Father, the last time you were on the program, you shared with us your journey from atheism, your conversion. And in the foreword to your new book, Mysterion, and I was able to get kind of an advanced look at this book, and I'm so excited. I can't wait for people to read this. The foreword of this book is written by your former, your fellow former atheist, Sister Teresa Alethea Noble, who, of course, is the famous Memento Mori nun who was recently profiled in the New York Times. We talked about her on the show the other day. She talked about an experience with God that she had in Costa Rica that kind of got her on the path back to the ways of God. And one of the things that she said in the foreword is that people ultimately have what she called a vision problem. And that's why most apologetic arguments don't work in today's culture. And I think your book is a bit of an antidote to this. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, just it's this idea that, it's true. We need to be people of reason, and we need to be people who think reasonably about the faith. But mm-hmm. that's often not the first question or problem that people have towards the faith. It's, as she says, it's a problem of vision, or another way to put it, it's a problem of the heart. That we see the world in such a way that it's hard for God to break through that. And so we're formed in this kind of vision. It's the culture we live in. It's the worldview we live in. And so there is a disconnect between the Catholic vision of reality that and a kind of modern or postmodern vision of reality that we are brought up in. And it's actually, and frankly, like, it's something we all live in. And actually, it's something that forms all of us. And so it's the task and duty of the Christian, recognizing this fact, that we start to address the vision problem or the problem of the heart. And it's there that things begin. It's there for, at least for today. That's where often things begin. It's not to say that those logical arguments or kind of irrational proofs or anything like that aren't important, but like I love that phrase from St. Peter, right? Always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that is within you. He's not saying to give a 5-point proof for the Christian faith. He's saying speak to the truth of the presence of Christ that you have and that you've received as a gift. This is to be witnessed to and to show how he speaks honestly and authentically to our current condition and that he wants to meet us there. But yeah, there is definitely a vision problem. And I think I think her phrase there is really important. We have the wrong lens on.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just going to say that corrective lenses for the eyes of the heart. That's really what we need.
Exactly.
And by the way, my guest is Father Harrison Ehr, author of the upcoming book Mysterion, which is available for pre-order right now from Pauline Books and Media. Why did you choose that title, Mysterion? What does that mean, and where can that word be found in Scripture?
So funny story with that, actually. I love to write. I love talking about ideas and experiences and everything. I'm horrible at titling. I'm really, really bad at that. That requires a focus that I've never had. So the Pauline Press team, actually, they all kind of came together and brainstormed, and they emailed me this. They proposed this as the title, and my heart exploded when I saw it. I said, they kind of got the heart of the book in a way that I never would have been able to express it in a title. And I was just, and they understood my, like I was, I, Sister Teresa knows this because she's also a good friend. She knows I'm not a big fan of like five steps, how to be more sacramental in your life or whatever. I kind of rub up against the pragmatist view of the world. Yep. And I don't like that as subtitles for books. So they really took that all into account when they gave, the title. And so the word mysterion, or if there's any people who speak Greek, it's from what I've been told, my Greek's not the best, but what I've been told, it's better pronounced like mysterion, like the Y is pronounced as a kind of U. But that's the Greek word for mystery, right? That's the Greek word for mystery. And in the first part of the book, we kind of explore what that word means, how it's been used in Scripture, because it's actually quite a prominent word used in Scripture. And it the whole point is to help us remember that there is both a hiddenness and a presence to God, and that we have to hold those two things always kind of in attention. We always have to be appreciative of this, that we'll never fully comprehend God. You know, as St. Augustine loved to say, if if you comprehend it, it's not God. Right. So there's that, always that mystery element, but it's not to say that, but mystery also doesn't mean a puzzle to be solved. Right. Like it, that's how we, you know, we think of like a mystery novel or a mystery TV show where you're going to get to the conclusion at the end. That's not what the church means by mystery. It's a reality to be entered into more deeply where you can understand it, but you never exhaust it.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what the scriptural sense of mystery means. But then what gets interesting is that St. Jerome in the Vulgate translates the Greek word mysterion in the Latin word sacramentum, sacrament. And so the whole idea of mystery is the entry gateway to see that sacramentality. And by this, I mean like that God works through the physical world, and that God uses created things to communicate himself to us is the primary way of seeing the world. This is how God has created us to be.
Yeah.
And that we don't have that vision, as Sister Teresa says, anymore. And so sacramentality is a larger vision, that the seven sacraments are rooted in that, but it's actually something much broader and bigger than this. And finally, this word mystery also brings us to a fact that it's also meant to be a participation in God's life, that we really and truly participate in God and in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's huge. Like that's that every time I even say it, like my brain just wants to explode because I'm like, that is such an amazing thing to think about. I am always and everywhere in Christ.
Yeah, and that's something I wanted to talk about earlier. I'll ask about this in just a second. Just to reset, my guest today is Father Harrison Eyre. He's the author of the upcoming book, which you can now pre-order, called Mysterion, or I should probably say Mousterion, but it's spelled Mysterion, The Revelatory Power of the Sacramental Worldview. And he obviously resisted the temptation to call it, you know, Five Easy Steps to Holiness. Didn't like that. He's not into those categorical definitions. And I love what you said there, Father. This is amazing. And by the way, if you want to call in and have a question for Father about this, you can call 1-888-914-9149. It's our toll-free studio line on The Cale Clark Show. My producer, Lucas, you took it away, Lucas. There's something that you sent me there. You tell the people, what did you say about mystery?
Well, I once heard someone say, and Father, maybe you can correct me here, but I once heard someone say that mystery isn't an absence of meaning, but an excess of meaning.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Exactly.
Which, when I first heard that, I was like, oh, so it's like, I don't know, that just blew my mind for a second. So with God, it's like saying that he's a mystery. It's not like we can't reach out to him and relate to him. It's that like, we can, but only in a way that we can't fully comprehend. I don't know if that makes sense,
it makes absolute sense. Like an analogy you can use is if you go to the ocean with a glass, you can fill the glass of water. You can get to know some of it, but you'll never have the full glass. You'll never get built to put the whole ocean in the glass. And that's the human soul. That's our humanity in relationship to God.
Yeah.
We're kind of the glass that, and so there's always an excess. And there's always a something more. That's a very patristic or church father way of looking at things that they really helped us understand. We like to categorize things and put them into little tiny boxes. Even as Catholics, we tend to do this, which is a very enlightenment way of thinking. We've got to kind of push that away. And actually, and all of this, by the way, all of this is rooted in the what I would call like a very fundamental thing the Second Vatican Council tried to reinvigorate in the church, this kind of sacramental vision of things. It wanted to bring us back to mystery.
That's a really good point, Father. And by the way, my guest again is Father Harrison Eyre, author of the new book Mysterion, The Revelatory Power of the Sacramental World. Well, yeah, I really appreciate the idea of the ocean. I mean, St. Augustine, the kid on the beach, we all know that story. God is immensus. You know, we'll never get to the bottom of him, but we can know the truth, even though we can't exhaust it. And speaking of the sacramental worldview, you wrote this in the book, quote, "We as human beings come to knowledge through the senses of taste, touch, smell, hearing, and sight. If we could never come to know about the faith in this way, then the whole of Christianity would be undermined," end of quote. I remember, Father, taking an intro to philosophy class with this incredibly holy, incredibly learned priest, named Father Gregory Haddock, who's passed away. May he rest in peace. And I remember him saying this idea that all knowledge comes to us through the senses. And I hadn't really ever heard that before. It really stopped me in my tracks. I thought, yeah, there's got to be some purely intellectual knowledge that we get, right? Maybe everybody knows this, but that was a real revelation to me. Can you talk about that a little bit as it relates to your topic?
Yeah, so this is it's a medieval scholastic axiom, right? To be a little technical, in philosophy, this is what we call epistemology, right? The theory of knowledge.
Right.
The whole idea of this, right? Yeah, exactly. And so the whole point of the whole way we know things is not in a purely spiritual way. There is no infused ideas, as some of the Platonists like to argue. There's no pre-existing forms in the mind that come to us before we actually ever perceive the world or become conscious of ourselves, but rather everything we know is mediated to us through the body. The body and the soul are intimately tied together. And so the whole way of knowing and perceiving the world comes in an embodied way. And it's always through something. This is how we function as human beings. It's always through something. And this is actually, I would argue, and there's a whole chapter on this on the modernist section, and I may be jumping ahead a bit here, but it's like, this is the whole problem. This is the whole problem, is that we are actually in a world where we actually don't believe or are informed to see this as a fundamental fact of being human. Because if this is the way we know things, well then everything God does and everything that we believe as Christian revelation means that God does something in a mediatory way. It's always through something. It's not this immediate direct experience of God. Moses doesn't have an intimate intuition of the presence of God on Mount Horeb. Jesus is not some idea revealed to the apostles, but something embodied, perceived in real world living, because God engages the whole human person. And so if that's the case, then that's how we function as human beings, then that's got to be the baseline, really for everything. And so that's really what the sacramental worldview is all about, is this is the baseline of what it means to be human.
Wow.
Really, if you get down to it.
Yeah, this is a huge topic. It's got amazing implications for, and this really goes back to what we said at the beginning, the way that we see reality. We need a new vision. We need this sacramental worldview. And this is really the key to understanding life and reality. I love it. I absolutely love it. My guest today is Father Harrison Ayer, author of the brand new book, Mysterion, The Revelatory Power of the Sacramental Worldview. We'll have much more with Father Harrison after this quick break. If you're on the phones, please stay on the line. We will get to you if you want to call in with a question for Father about this. 1-888-914-9149. It's a fascinating topic. Be right back on the Cale Clark Show. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
This is the Cale Clark Show, giving you the confidence you need to bring the faith into everyday life.
Hey, welcome back to the show. 1-888-914-9149 is the toll-free studio line. If you want to call in and talk to my guest, Father Harrison Ayer, 1-888-914-9149. We're talking about Father Harrison's new book, which is coming out really soon, but you can pre-order it now. It's called Mysterion, The Revelatory Power of the Sacramental Worldview. And Father, I have to ask you, on your Twitter feed, I kept seeing these cryptic images popping up of peacock feathers. And I was like, what in the world is going on here? This has something to do with the book, doesn't it? And its cover. Talk to me about this.
Yeah. So, and I'll be honest, this is part of the mystery of it for me too. I'm still entering into it. And because Sister Danielle, who does the cover art, and just as a little tease, the whole artwork of the book has still not been revealed yet. We're still in a place of mystery with it and the veiledness of it all. And there's a reason, for example, the cover of the book has a veil. There is a purpose to this. But she wanted to kind of do something beautiful and colorful and creative, that seems to emphasize the creatureliness of us all, to draw and to catch the eye to draw you into the mystery because there is something beyond the veil there. And so and I know there's something around Flannery O'Connor and peacocks, and I forget what it is, but I'll be honest, like I'm still a little bit in the mystery element still of this all myself, which is not a bad place to be. But I have seen where things are going to go with all the other artwork with the book. Because the idea is that the book is meant, the very experience of reading the book is meant to be sacramental itself.
Oh, wow.
Which is really powerful. Yeah, I know the sisters, they do amazing work. And Sister Danielle has just been such a joy to work with on the design part. She has some amazing ideas. So it's her creative thing here. And it's been, but at the same time, it's a beautiful cover and everyone's just telling me how much they love the cover and people pre-ordered it just because of the cover. They don't even know what the book's about and they just love the cover. They judge the book by its cover. And in this case, I think they did the right thing.
Yeah, you're not supposed to do that. But in this case, people couldn't help themselves. This idea of a peacock hidden behind a veil, more beauty than we can ever imagine. Which is kind of maybe not so far beyond our reach after all. My guest is Father Harrison Eyre. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show. We're going to go to the phones right now. Paul, good friend of the program, listens a lot. He's from an Eastern Orthodox background, is calling from Youngstown, Ohio. Hi, Paul. Welcome back to the show.
Hi. Thank you, Cale, and hello, Father.
Hi.
I was just wanting to know, the term mysterion I've heard used interchangeably with the term sacrament. And could you tell me what the meaning of the word sacrament is? Or is it basically the same as mystery?
It's meant to be. They're similar and they're different. I think in the West, a sacrament got really reduced for a while to the seven sacraments, right? But at the same time, it's rooted in this idea of mystery. Mystery goes beyond just what we mean by the word sacrament, for sure. But there is a similarity and a difference at the same time, I guess you could say, right? There is a similarity. Like, so we think in, so for the West, in our sense of catechism, what is a sacrament? A visible sign of an invisible grace that affects what it signifies, right? Very technical definition of sacrament, right? Something visible that works and makes present and effective the invisible work of God, right? So the redemption, Jesus's body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist, that something visible, what seems to be bread, is now turned into the Eucharist, now communicates and affects what it signifies. It makes present Jesus to us. So, but mystery goes beyond that too. Like the word mystery goes beyond that. It goes into things around salvation history, God's willing participation in us. This is all part of mystery. God's hidden plans for us have to be revealed. So it's a connection between that hiddenness and that revealedness at the same time. But I believe actually they are meant to be closer together than we in the West we've treated them. I think this is actually something the Orthodox Church has held on to that the West can really learn from and rediscover again. Because it's actually like sacrament is not meant to be used in this reductive sense. It's meant to be used in this broader sense. So that, for example, in a way, like the liturgy itself, like when the scriptures are read, that's a sacramental experience. And by this, I mean like God speaking his word to us live in the liturgy. This is not a recounting of words written in the past, but it's something effective today, and that the spiritual and physical, these things always come together. So they are meant to be closer together. And I think that's something beautiful that the East has held on to, that some areas of the church in the West are slowly catching back up to again.
Does that help to answer your question, Paul?
Well, it does. And I have a book on the Christian mysteries by a Romanian monk. And I think it also has peacocks or some sort of birds on the cover.
Ooh, maybe they borrowed this idea.
I'm only kidding. I think it's a Christian theme from early Christianity. I don't know what the meaning is, but there's a picture of a church with domes on it and branches growing from the corners of the church and birds resting on them.
Wow. Well, we are... I'm absolutely as proud as a peacock that you called in, Paul, and I want to thank you for listening so faithfully and for your great questions. So thanks a lot, Paul. It was Paul calling from Youngstown, Ohio. So yeah, maybe this peacock thing has there's more of a, I was going to say a long tail, but a long feather to this peacock. Maybe this image back a lot farther than we think in Christian history. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. My guest is Father Harrison Ayer, the author of the upcoming book, which you can now pre-order, Mysterion, The Revelatory Power of the Sacramental Worldview. Well, speaking of church, let me ask you this, Father, and you mentioned this in the book. Vatican II talked about in the document on the church, Lumen Gentium, which means the light of the nations, the church as a whole is the universal sacrament of salvation. What does this mean? Mm-hmm. And follow-up question, can one be saved without the church?
Great question, yes. So, and that's actually one of my favorite statements from Vatican II. The church is the universal sacrament of salvation. So what does this mean? So it means that she is visible, right? She has mm-hmm. to, like, so again, let's, if we take the idea of sacrament, that it's something visible that communicates, first, invisible. Second, it communicates and makes present what is invisible, and affects what it makes present. Those are the three qualities of a sacrament in its kind of broader sense. Mm-hmm. So it's visible. The church has to be seen in the world.
Yeah.
It has to be seen. And that when she's seen in not just her life, liturgical life, but in the work of charity of the baptized, right? We believe that as baptized Christians, Christ is always with us. He is always trying to make himself known through us to the world. So the hidden mysteries of Christ's life are always made present through the work of the church, visibly in the world. And it also happens, obviously, this happens preeminently in the liturgy, where the salvation of Christ is made present to us in a mysterious way at the Mass. It communicates something invisible. It communicates God's love. God depends upon us. God, wow. In his humility, like in his loving humility, depends upon us to be his body in the world. This is at the heart of Paul's theology of the church as the body of Christ, right? What is his body but his members, right? There's always that popular, we are the church. I'm like, well, not quite. I get the sentiment behind it, but it's something deep. Mm-hmm. No, Christ, the church is the body of Christ, of which we are members of, mm-hmm. that make Christ present to the world. So it makes, you see, people always say, I haven't been able to see God. Well, that's because maybe that's a judgment on the church that we haven't lived the Christian faith, right? And it affects what it signifies. Yeah. And it affects what it signifies. Well, if the church is the universal sacrament of salvation, then she participates in Christ's saving mission to make that salvation known and present to the world. She primarily affects the salvation through the sacrament of baptism, but in a broader sense, when she's living her life of charity, when she's doing the good works of the church that are expected of her, when we are encountering people in their spiritual, material, psychological poverty, wherever they might be with that, Christ is effecting in a mysterious way his salvation for those people to bring them into his saving mystery. So the church is the universe. That's what it means. It's the body of Christ, which makes Christ present to the world to bring salvation. Without, like, people say, oh, because of the Second Vatican Council, we lost the idea of evangelization. No. It is the impetus for the idea of evangelization. It's because it puts that mission now no longer just on the priests and the religious, but on the whole body, right? Now, your second question around, can you repeat it again?
It's kind of a big question, but in relation to this topic, this thought of the church being the universal sacrament of salvation, can one be saved without the church?
No. And this has always been the teaching of the church, but how does that work? I mean, there's always those, we think about people who didn't hear the gospel, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But Christ still works through the church in a mysterious way for those people. They may not be grafted onto the church through baptism, through no fault of their own, but it's a saving work through the church always. Mm-hmm. Without the church, and the church we have to remember is not just the church here below, but it's the church suffering in purgatory, yeah. mm-hmm. the church triumphant in heaven. This is the body of Christ in its totality. And so what saves us ultimately? The body of Christ crucified.
Right.
What is active in the world? The body of Christ, right? This is the mm-hmm. whole centerpiece of it. So if people want to be saved, it's through his body. And his body is the church, of which we are members. And so he depends upon us. It doesn't mean that every person who gets saved because of those who don't know the gospel through no fault of their own aren't that they're condemned to hell necessarily. But it also puts the impetus on us, though, too, because that's a harder way. That's always a harder way.
Yeah, absolutely.
We should give people the easier way, the life of grace. And that puts the impetus on us to evangelize.
Absolutely. I always say, and this is an image I stolen from Peter Kraft. He says, well, really, there's three ways to get from, say, Boston to Los Angeles. You could try walking there. I mean, you could probably make it. You could hitchhike a little bit. It might be a little dangerous, though. You might not get there. You could drive there. That's a little easier. Or you could fly. That's the easiest way that we have available to us at the moment. And being a member of the Catholic Church is like flying, because we have all these helps from heaven to get us to our destination, which is not Los Angeles, although that might be heaven to some people, but heaven itself. And this is really where the sacraments do come into play in a special way. Mm-hmm. These helps from heaven, from Christ, to get us to Christ, if you will. My guest is Father Harrison Ayer, author of the brand new book, Mysterion, The Revelatory Power of the Sacramental Worldview, available for pre-order now from Pauline Books and Media. We're going to take another quick break here on the Cale Clark Show, but call in if you have a question for Father, 1-888-914-9149. Be right back.
This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, Lucas, I knew you were going to play that song at some point in the future. And here it is. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show. 1-888-914-9149. If you want to talk to my guest today, who is Father Harrison Ayer, the author of the upcoming book, Mysterion, The Revelatory Power of the Sacramental Worldview, available for pre-order now. It's good to pre-order. It's good to pre-order because it helps other people find out about the book, maybe become a future New York Times bestseller. Let's hope so, because we do need this sacramental worldview. We need to put on a different set of glasses for our hearts. We can see reality as it actually is. And Father, it's kind of interesting to me that this book is published by Pauline Books and Media, of course, an apostolate of the Daughters of St. Paul. I think there's a bit of an affinity here. Obviously, you write a lot about St. Paul and his thought. Blessed James Alberioni, who founded this order, had this incredible vision. And it's very similar to what we do here at Relevant Radio, trying to reach the world for Christ through media. Talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the book actually came about with my just discussions with Sister Teresa, who's become a friend because of Twitter. And we are like in real life friends. And she's a great friend who I'm really grateful to have as a friend. I always say priests need female religious friends, because they'll always keep us in check and focused on Christ. So yeah, it kind of came about with this, and so we talked about an idea for the book, and it kind of went around for a few things, and then we came around with this, and they wanted it in a bit of short order, but I sent her a sample chapter, and she, when we talked, she goes, Father Harrison, this is so Pauline. So there's a few things with this, because first, I think it's been a joy working with them on this, because they really understand the power of media to communicate the gospel to people. Absolutely. And they want to engage all forms to bring that out to people. Secondly, for me, just personally, if I can make a book that will hopefully be successful enough that this supports them, right? This is their primary means of income to support their mission in the world. And that's like super, that to me is just so, so important. And I want to help support that in any way. They're just a joy to work with, because like everything. So we met in January to talk about the planning around the promotion of the book, how we're going to get the word out, what kind of ideas we have around it. And all this kind of incorporated media, which is something I'm very passionate about, I think is really important for the church. I think we've still not done a very good job at this, at least in terms of social media. And we have to be better about how we get the message out there. And they really want to incorporate all that, right? So like part of the promotion stuff is first news on this one, I guess. But I don't think I'm breaking any embargo on this. But the Daughters Project in the fall, when the book comes out, it's going to be an 8-part series on the book, which we're recording. And so
wow.
that'll be like, they want to use podcasting. They want to use Twitter, Instagram, mm-hmm. everything to communicate this book. And they see this as a help in evangelizing because they see this as such a need for Catholics to rediscover this truth. But at the same time too, when Sister said it was so Pauline, she meant this, right? That the whole point, like their whole charism, mm-hmm. is seeing that everything they do and are is a participation in the life of Christ, that they are in Christ, that we are in Christ more than I'm in this bedroom that I'm sitting in right now. I am in Christ more deeply and intimately than anything I'm in the world. Mm-hmm. And that this is a central point of Paul's preaching. And this is actually at the heart of their charism. And this is part yeah. of what they're supposed to communicate. So they sent me Blessed Alberio, their prayer book with and stuff by Blessed Alberione to read. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is everything I've been writing about. Like
wow.
we're on the same page. And it was just a real beautiful confirmation of that sharing in that mission. And I'm just like saying, sisters, whatever I can do to help share that mission in the future, I'm happy to do it because I really believe that we share that same passion for media, but also that same passion that everything we do is in Christ.
I love this. There's so much serendipity there, obviously. And thanks mm-hmm. for peeling back the curtain or the veil, if you will, to show us the peacock. This is how the sausage is made. This is how kind of a book comes together. It's kind of interesting as mm-hmm. as a process. But I want to just follow up a little bit. And by the way, again, my guest here on the Cale Clark Show is Father Harrison Ayer, author of the upcoming book, Mysterion. Father Harrison, let me ask you about this concept of St. Paul that's so Pauline, as Sister said to you. He talks so much about this concept of being in Christ, and you alluded to it just a second ago. What exactly does this mean in Paul's thought? I'm doing this series on our sister program, The Faith Explained, on 1 Corinthians. We're calling it Saints in Sin City. So I'm delving into the thought of Paul in a deep dive way myself. This concept of being in Christ is so key to understanding Paul. How would you explain that to somebody?
I mean, simply, think of what that word in means in its most literal sense. And that's what Paul means, that you are in Christ, not just in your soul, but in your body. Like your whole person is in Christ. When you are baptized, you are grafted onto Christ. You are placed into his body and soul, so that you share in everything he has. What we believe, we like to say what Christ is by nature, we are by adoption. Mm. We become sons and daughters of God in him. So this means then that there is an intimacy between us and Christ at all times. There is never a point he wants to leave us. Mm-hmm. Even when we commit mortal sin, like you need that attachment to him to, you know, it's not like you erase your baptism. Mm. It still cuts you off from the eternal life of God, but but you're not completely cut off from him either, because the grace has to work somehow to draw you to confession. Right. So,
Let me just say I think that's such a key point for people to hear, because if somebody finds himself in that situation, they might panic and say, it's all over.
Right.
And Father Jacques Philippe talks about this in one of his books, that when you're in like serious sin, the one thing the devil wants you to do is lose your peace and just completely fall into despair. And that's not the way. So that does provide a lot of hope for people, I think, listening, who might say, I really need to get to confession here. Is it too late for me? I've committed this mortal sin. I like what you said there.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that the love of God always at work in our lives? That he literally enters into our sin on the cross. He's not afraid of it as when we commit it. It's not trying to say, hey, like go on and sin. Don't worry. You're fine. Mm-hmm. That's not what I mean by this. But it's rather to say, like, if it does happen, we have a God who's willing to enter into that, because he's always in us. And also perhaps actually on the other side of that, actually helps us push us away from sin, realizing, wait, I'm always in him. He's always with me. Like in the realest sense possible. This is not poetic. This is not, oh yes, what would Jesus do? Like, I'm going to try and imitate. No, no. It's not just about imitation. It's actually about participation, mm-hmm. because that also tells us to then, if we are in Christ, he works his grace and his work in us. We know we are weak. We know we can't do things on our own. We know that mm-hmm. it's hard to do works of charity on our own. But when you start to recognize that the truth of the fact that you are in him, he's always working in you. And I put this in our book on pandemic, that this is actually, I think this was a comfort for me in these last year, was I'm in Christ no matter what.
No matter what.
Now I recognize as a priest, I always get mass, right? I get that. But, but I'm always in him. Like, nothing, like, I, and I mean, what a beautiful thing that he doesn't, that despite everything we've done, he chooses to still be in us and with us.
Yeah. It's a great comfort, to be sure. And something that, yeah, especially during these pandemic times when people haven't had as much access to the sacraments, talking about the sacramental worldview, what a comfort that is, that, that nothing can separate us, as St. Paul says, from the love of Christ. My guest is Father Harrison Eyre, the author of Mysterion, upcoming book, 1-888-914-9149, if you want to call in on our toll-free line to the Cale Clark Show to talk to Father. And we're going to go to the phones right now. We're going to go to John from the Philadelphia area. John, welcome to the show. You're on with Father.
Thank you, Cale. Thank you, Father. I had called in originally, okay, to for the clarification of sacrament, okay, and mystery, okay, if they're synonymous. But they're similar, okay, in that I see sacrament as kind of being like government, okay. Govern, you know, is one aspect. And the government, okay, is actually the, you know, the physical part of it. And sacrament, you know, is kind of like the actualization of the, you know, of the mystery, okay, but actually putting it forth, making it happen. So, I mean, that's a just an interesting tie. And regarding your bird, you know, I've seen those guys up close, okay, and they all look like they have eyes. It reminds me of a fan, okay? It fans out, and they all look like eyes on the end of the tail, number one. All see an eye. And then the other thing is, it's kind of like that the mystery of it all, or the mystery unveiled. Here you thought you just saw a bird, okay, with a little tassel on the top of his head. And then now he spreads himself out, and you see, well, there's so much more to this, all right? Mm. Yeah. A mystery isn't something we don't know anything about.
Right.
A mystery is something we just don't know everything about. And isn't that what attracts men to women? It's like, I like what I see, but I want to know more, okay? Isn't that like the church, you know? So we want to see more. We want to know more. And you know, putting others first, isn't that really what we're supposed to be doing? Isn't that what we call love, putting others before ourselves? What would you have us do, honey? What do you think?
Well, John, you've raised a lot of great thoughts there. Wow, it's amazing. This peacock image has a lot more feathers to it than I thought, to be sure. Any thoughts on that, Father?
I think I want to kind of focus in on the that idea of attraction, like this is kind of the part of it. Like part of sacramentality is beauty. Like I go into this a bit in the book too, around the idea of beauty. Beauty attracts. Like, so when sisters talk about this lack of a vision, the church is meant to propose this new way of entering into things by giving you a place to have that new vision of reality, to have that new lens. And so beauty, like, so we need to live our life in such ways that it proposes questions and it attracts others to say, what is it about you? And when you do, like, I, for me, I love this story. Actually, I just used it last week in my homily, but when I was on internship, I put together this, we were going to World Youth Day in Madrid and to do a fundraiser for the youth. I said, like, I used to do a lot of swing dancing. So I said, we're going to do a swing dance fundraiser. And we sold out, raised a lot of money for the youth for this. And we had over 400 people at this event. And a gentleman came up to me. He goes, I don't get this. I said, what do you mean? He goes, you have Filipinos and Vietnamese and Chinese and Mexicans and North Americans, and you're all enjoying this together. I said, yeah, yeah. He goes, I'm not Catholic, but I want to know more about that.
Wow.
Right? It was that natural, beautiful, like, expression of just shared life with each other. It proposed a question to his heart. And that's what the church really needs to be doing, to propose those questions again, to start to attract. We need to attract by living the beauty of holiness, but and living the joy of our Christian faith that approves, if you will, and embraces the created world.
I just love that story, Father, because in dealing with St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, I mean, he's writing to this church that's a mixed bag of people, very rich, very poor, former slaves, people with great big villas, people with nothing, the haves and the have-nots, people from different ethnic backgrounds. And it was so almost weird in the Roman Empire in the first century for one organization to have this kind of crowd in it. And it's strange today, too, in this deeply divided world in which we live. We know the deep fissures in society right now, politically and socially. And so when this guy saw that, everybody together, enjoying this together, he thought, man, this is there's something here. And this is really part of the Catholicity of the church and part of the what can draw people in to this universal sacrament of salvation. So I just love that story.
And that's what Catholic means, right? Universal. Like I can't remember who uses the phrase, but they say, you know, the Catholic Church means here comes everybody, right? Yeah. And that's it. And it's like, and it means, yeah, you're going to have people there who are going to be very on fire. You're going to have people who are going to be at Mass who are struggling, but they need to be there. You're going to have kids crying and they deserve to be there. You're going to have everything there. And that's the whole point, because Christ comes to redeem and enter into all of that. And I think like that's the thing. When people come in their joys or their sorrows or whatever it might be, or a mix of everything, when they're in the life of the church, they say, wait, Christ is in this. He's in my sorrow. He's in my joy. Really, he's there. And we need to help foster that experience and that encounter more deeply to help kind of unpack, if you will, the gift that Christ gives us in baptism.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. My guest is Father Harrison Ayer here on the Cale Clark Show. We're talking about his upcoming book, Mysterion. It's all about the sacramental worldview. And speaking of sacraments, I do have a caller with a specific question about a specific sacrament. So we're going to go now to the phones to Odelia, who's calling from McAllen, Texas. Odelia, you are live with Father Harrison. What's your question?
I just have a question, Father. Does a person have to be to receive the sacrament of the confirmation?
Okay. How old do you have to be? What do you think?
You have to be age of reason. In the law, the universal law of the church is age of reason. So that's usually 7 or 8. I mean, it's flexible a little bit, but it's, however, each diocese sometimes can change that to put it a bit higher if they want. In my diocese, it's actually 7. They do confirmation and first communion at the same time.
Wow!
Because that's the original order, right? That's the order of initiation:
exactly.
Baptism, confirmation, first communion. And this is something that the church is kind of growing in appreciation of. However, sometimes these still kind of go the way that I believe it was Pope Pius X who kind of introduced this. I might be wrong on the Pius. It was one of the Piuses who introduced the idea of later confirmations in the teenage years. And so, a lot of dioceses say, no, you have to wait till you're later. And so. But in the church, and in the Eastern Church, this is a little interesting fact. In the Eastern Church, it's all at once. You get baptized, confirmed, and First Eucharist when you're an infant.
Yeah, it's kind of a triple play, isn't it? Chrismation, everything. You get First Communion, and you're ready to go.
Yeah.
My guest is Father Harrison Ayer on the Cale Clark Show, and talking about this new book of his, Mysterion. The power of the sacramental worldview, the revelatory power, rather, of the sacramental worldview. And it's certainly been revelatory having you on the show again, Father. It has been a real joy. How can people get a hold of you, and how can they pre-order this book?
So the best place to pre-order the book is to go to paulinestore.com. And if you type in my last name, A-Y-R-E, or you type in Mysterion, M-Y-S-T-E-R-I-O-N, you will be able to find it, or you put in sacramental worldview or something, you'll be able to find it there. Mm-hmm. They're actually giving a discount right now for pre-order, $5 off. It's a hardcover book. Like I said, there's going to be more to be seen. Yeah, you can pre-order it there. You can also pre-order on Amazon and stuff like that. But, you know, I really like to encourage people to go to the sisters themselves, because it will help. It helps. They get more upfront, and it helps them. Right. And like you said earlier, pre-ordering helps cover their costs earlier, right? Which helps them to do later works. Yeah. So paulinestore.com is the best place to go, but anywhere you order books, you can pre-order it. You can find me on Twitter at FR Harrison. That's kind of where I hang out. And you can find me on my podcast, where we're kind of on bi-weekly right now. We took a break for a bit. We all both needed a mental break. COVID kind of got to both of us for a bit there. And
well, you've
but
had
Father
a lot
Anthony
on.
And I, we call it, Yeah, we have the podcast Clerically Speaking, and you can find it wherever you listen to your podcasts. And yeah, so Twitter and the book, and I think that's everywhere I am. Yeah,
I think you've covered all the bases. And I do encourage everybody to follow Father on Twitter. He's a great follow. He's always got lots to say. And man, you are a busy guy doing your doctoral research, writing books, doing Clerically Speaking. Man, it is awesome stuff. And by the way,
you forgot Pastor too.
Oh man, I totally forgot. We need to pray for you big time. You need the sacraments, my friend yourself. You need this sacramental power.
Exactly.
And by the way, producer Lucas Holt is going to put a link in not only our Twitter show account at Cale Clark Show, but also in the show notes as well. So it'll be easy for you to click on that. And yeah, this beautiful hardcover book with a peacock on it behind a veil, you can put that on the coffee table and get some really cool conversations going with your friends as they're hopefully drawn to the beauty of the sacramental worldview. Well, Father Harrison, it is great to run you down, my friend. Really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule. But I guess you have a little bit more time because you're not watching any Canucks playoff games, that's for sure, because they didn't make it. So
no, although
a little bit more time.
Well, I've been actually watching a bit more basketball this year, and basketball's been nice. More fun to watch than hockey this year. So, but yes, the Canucks are not in it.
Yep, but the Maple Leafs are, and of course that is the official hockey club of the Cale Clark Show. So hopefully we can convert you.
Heresy. Yes.
Well, I don't know if that's heresy, but that was Father Harrison Ayer joining me today. And please check out his new book, Mysterion. And thank you all for listening to the Cale Clark Show. Lucas Holt produced, Patrick Alog screened the calls. Timmy's up next. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.